This FPL season has definitely been go, go, go. A nonstop hustle all the time. Matches, deadlines, unexpected blank and double game weeks, on top of everything the real world has had in store. Sometimes you need a moment to turn off and hit reset. That's when you reach for Coors Light. It's made to chill. For me personally, supporting Fulham during this last year has been a true roller coaster ride. Honestly, when that Adama Traore goal flew past Areola in the 92nd minute of game week 31, the only thing that saved my mental state, the only thing that calmed my nerves, was cracking open a Coors Light. There's only one beer out there that's literally made to chill, and that's Coors Light. The mountains on the bottles and cans even turn blue when your beer is cold. That way, you always know when it's time to chill. When you need to hit reset, just open a Coors Light. It's mountain cold refreshment made to chill. And listen, everyone, summer is pretty much here. It's about to get hot in New York. An ice-cold Coors Light is such a perfect way for me to beat that summertime heat. Coors Light is the one I choose when I need to unwind. So when you want to hit reset, reach for the beer that's made to chill. Get Coors Light and the new look delivered straight to your door with Drizzly or Instacart. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado. And as always, celebrate.
Hail, cheaters, and welcome to the Always Cheating Fantasy Premier League podcast. My name is Josh. I'm here with Brandon. Brandon, how are you?
Hello, darkness, my old friend. It's Brandon.
It's come to claim your game week again.
The darkness has come to claim my game week. Yeah. I'm going to initiate an emergency session of renaming Brandon's team because, holy crap, it is rolling downhill at such a speed that I cannot control it anymore.
It's only, what, two red arrows in a row? It's not that simple.
Four red arrows in a row for
four
me.
Four in a row. Wow.
Yeah, it's a bit of a spiral. And I hinted at this when I cracked the top 100K, Game Week 26. Mm-hmm. And I think I said this as much on the podcast. Like, well, you know, this is not to say that I'll stay in the one in the top 100K.
Sure.
And sure enough, it has been a steady regression since then.
Yeah. I have to say, I was surprised when the, you know, I guess it just shows what a bubble it is. You know, like we live in New York. We live in a New York liberal bubble. I think we also live in a bit of a fantasy bubble because when the average points came through and it was 41, that seemed high to me. You know, I thought I had a reasonably okay game week. Not great by any means, but I finished on 40 points, and I was like, 40 is solid, you know? And It was like, I felt like a decent return. I was looking at our mini league, and, you know, I'd say 40 is probably in the top five scores in there. We've got about, what, like 20 managers in our league. And then to see, 41, I guess, you know, it must be just a lot of people have Man City players. And even with Aguero not playing, I think that a lot of people have Sterling, a lot of people have Otamendi or Kyle Walker. I think Kyle Walker is still one of the most owned defenders in the league. So just a lot of people getting 6-player returns.
I would
there.
Say also don't underestimate how many Manchester United fans are out there, casual or not, who, I mean, Marcus Rashford has got to be in a lot of game week one teams that have ghosted.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. But the average was like 30 yesterday, and then it jumped up like 10 points today. And 10 points, even with auto subs, I feel like 10 points is a pretty big jump. So I feel like a lot of that has to be, you know, Man City players.
And a player we're going to have to talk about from here to game week 38 is probably David Silva, a guy who David Silva. Who had like one of the cheekiest first halves of the season. Mm-hmm. He was like never a must own, but if you had him, you were doing quite well. And then he disappeared for his personal issues, but now he's back. And going into wild card season, he may be a must have.
Yeah, maybe. I mean, you know, I guess it.
We have to consider the double game weeks, obviously.
Exactly. But. And I don't think we should talk too much about Man City. Really, anyone who's not playing in game week 31, because it's such a tricky week. We're going to get all into that in just a couple of minutes here. But I was talking to someone on Twitter earlier this week when I was doing my advice shop, and you know, I was saying that, you know, I actually was talking to Ben, who's in our personal mini league. And I was saying that the way that you manage Man City is really going to be, it could be the key to your season, you know, like which Man City play, because, you know, they're going to have the league sewn up in like 2 more weeks. And they might be playing for there's a very good chance they're what in the Champions League semifinals, or they could even make the finals. You know, there's just a good chance that there's going to be a lot of rotation. Now, thankfully, they're not in the FA Cup finals. That does eliminate a little bit of concern, and they're about to take a 3-week vacation, effectively. Although, obviously, some of their players will be playing on the international break. So, yeah, I think we're going to have to talk a lot about
them. And at some point,
them.
Josh, they will have to play in the Club World Cup.
One can't forget that, exactly. That looms, looms large.
Yeah.
So let's talk about your, I brought up my 40 points. I'll just quickly talk about my game week. It was okay. It was very frustrating to me because I made two things happen that were really frustrating. One was, I was really on the fence about my bench lineup, and I had, because I had Martin in it, and I thought there was a pretty good chance he wouldn't play. And so I was really debating between Cedric and Fernandez as the first defender off the bench.
It's a real Sophie's choice.
Yeah, there. I know, but Fernandez has played pretty well this year. And, you know, I was looking at the gambler's odds, like the clean sheet odds for the game week. And Southampton actually had a slightly better chance of keeping a clean sheet. And so I thought, all right, you know what, it felt like a coin flip, really. And of course, yeah. Southampton get annihilated. I mean, they they look so bad that their manager gets fired today. And concede a goal.
About
like,
time.
Yeah. I mean, I got to the bar at like 10:01 and they had already conceded a goal. And I was like, well, that's a disaster. And then
you did the Grandpa Simpson, hang up the hat and immediately heel turn and take the hat.
Exactly. And then I was like, you know, that thing where like, you kind of like, you make a mistake and then you're like, well, I don't want the other, like the player I would have played to do well just to feel better
Absolutely.
About it. So I'm like, oh, okay, Jordan Ayew gets a red card like in the 8th minute of the game. That's cool.
Surely, that was fun for me.
Yeah, exactly. Fun for you. I think he was one of the most transferred in players this week, you know, going into this week. And so I was like, well, there's no way they're going to keep a clean sheet at home or, you know, on the road for the next 80 minutes. And lo and behold, you know, I think Huddersfield hit the post twice, the crossbar once. I mean, it was like a, you know, comedy of errors, like how they didn't score a goal in that game.
Fabianski, yeah. I saw him. He gathered the defense together and he said, do it for Jordan.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. So it was, Jordan Ibe?
Do it for Jordan Ibe. We really want him to come play in Wales next season.
So no,
Swansea defense was pumped up after that final whistle. It was really interesting to see. It's unfortunate they blank in game week 31 because they're in pretty good form, all things considered.
Yeah, that is very true. So what else happened? Ben Chilwell got me a late assist. That helped. Marcus Alonso, the most frustrating moment. It actually might have been one of the more frustrating moments of the season for me. And I know that seems like a total exaggeration, but it was just something about watching that game and he, you know, should have got an assist. You know, Giroud did a bunch of Giroud stuff and just kind of show why he's not a world-class striker.
He'll do that.
He'll do that. Yeah, exactly. That's why he was available for $10 million midseason. God, even on a weekend when Arsenal win 3-0, I still find a way to kind of, you know, rag on them a little bit. They Chelsea switched off the last 10 minutes and conceded a really insane goal. I mean, I don't know how that goal gets scored.
It was remarkable. Crystal Palace looked like they wouldn't have a chance of scoring. I mean,
my wife, so I was home for that final match and my wife had to see, I literally slumped to the floor. Like I was like, I fell on the ground.
I was at your apartment that night and Kate looked at me and she said, you see that carpet right there? Josh was face down on that carpet hours ago.
I wasn't banging my hands and it wasn't like a full toddler fit, but it was, I slumped down and then I immediately got on Twitter to start complaining. And you know, as I've discovered, when you complain to the FPL gods, they reward you. And I got 13 points from Mkhitaryan the next day. And then I got 6 from Sterling. And of course, I got nothing from Callum Wilson. But that was enough to get me to 40, which I felt like was a an okay return, all things considered. How about you, Brandon? I know you had a not so great game week.
It was truly awful. It was truly awful. I had two major differentials playing in the afternoon fixtures on Saturday, and this is kind of telling of where I'm at right now with my squad. Those two major differentials were Higazi and Jordan Ayew. Mm-hmm. And I thought things would look decent for West Brom after they went up early at home to Leicester, and Leicester, you know, they're in a strange place, that team, and they could show up and demolish somebody one week and then not show up the other. So I was cautiously optimistic the first 10 minutes. And then, of course, Higazi ends up with zero.
Right.
Jordan Ayew with a ridiculous red card. That one was it was a very sour taste, because nobody likes a minus two from someone who they're depending on for goals.
Right.
But Ayew was going to have to be gone after this game week anyway. So
right.
There are those red cards that really just totally disrupt your transfer planning. This one, at least there is no knock-on effect
right.
from that.
Right.
So I'll be moving Ayew for game week 31. We'll get to that a little bit later.
Sure. Can you give us a hint? What is the player you're moving? What is his name rhyme with? Moy Meany? is it Malum Milson?
Punier?
Okay. Yep. Yep. I think I have a guess who that might be. So how many? So yeah. So I mean.
Yeah. So yeah. I ended up on 25 points, which was your question. The only two returns I got were a Ben Mee clean sheet and a Raheem Sterling assist.
Oh, we have to. By the way, you want to talk about the other insane situation, which was I made my one transfer this week, which was dropping Ward-Prowse and bringing in Theo Walcott, and. Has this been a more heartbreaking loss of a goal than losing that Walcott goal? I mean, I was...
Spoken like a manager who just brought in Theo Walcott. There's nothing heartbreaking about that. The only heartbreaking thing is owning Theo Walcott in your FPL squad. Right. So don't get me started on
yeah,
that.
Yeah, I know. I crunched all the numbers and I said it. I didn't want to bring in Riyad Mahrez. I don't crunch the numbers. But I really took my transfer seriously this week. I really... tried to think it through and make what I thought was the most conservative move. I had two transfers. I only used one. And instead of bringing in, I actually was going to drop Sterling for Mahrez. And so that ultimately only cost me 5 points. And I went from Ward-Prowse to Walcott. And so, you know, you think you scored this goal. Now, granted, I was watching this at the Black Horse Bar with my, the way it's set up there, it's very fixed. The TVs, they don't switch the TVs around for you, no matter how much you kvetch.
There's a very large man who controls the remote control.
Yes, exactly. Big, you know, Newcastle fan, I believe.
Yeah, and you have to sheepishly approach him and be like, "Kind sir, would you please consider?"
He's got like
putting on the Stoke game.
He's got like 9 remotes in this tub, you know, and it's like, yeah, he doesn't want to figure out which remote is which, I think.
So he's also usually watching something on a propped up iPad as well. He's probably watching like CSI Miami,
right, exactly.
Or something like
so
that.
So, of course, I'm there like the good parent that I am. I bring my baby to the bar with me. And so she and I, it was pretty quiet. I figured it'd be pretty quiet. There was no like, you know, marquee match on for the early fixtures. We're watching it, but of course, like the TV was in the other end and I'm watching like 7 screens are showing Newcastle Southampton, like the most, you know, if I were a Newcastle fan, I'd be excited, but I'm not. And so it was just, if it was kind of a boring fixture, they were just kicking Southampton's ass the whole time. And so I see this goal,
great goals by Kennedy. Though.
I see this goal in the distance. I actually think I saw it on Twitter first. Somehow Andy is like, I can't think of his last name. Andy from the Scoutcast.
Let's Talk FPL.
Well, yeah. Let's Talk FPL is like, he's like, you remember that show Early Edition, on CBS with Coach Taylor, where he got the newspaper, no one who's not from the U.S. is going to know this reference, but he would like get the day's news and he'd like find out who was going to get murdered or whatever. And he'd have to go like stop the murder.
It was essentially Quantum Leap, but for the newspaper age.
The Chicago area, exactly. Specifically localized in the Chicago area.
If your local news channel decided, you know what, Quantum Leap is a pretty good show, We have no budget, but we can figure it out.
We can do a Chicago apartment. So will that work? Anyway, Annie is like, he knows about these goals like 20 seconds before everybody else. Even if you're watching it in real time, I like find out about the goal. Like, I feel like if I were actually at the game, he would still somehow announce that goal before like I saw it happen in real time. So anyway, a bunch of people announced this Walcott goal and I'm like, yes. Okay, great. The transfer has been justified. I got in at Walcott just the right time. And then I was like convinced, I was like, he must have touched it, you know, like when it got, you know, changed over to an own goal. And I have not watched close up Zapruder tape style film of this. Have you watched closely to see if he touched it at all? I mean, clearly he didn't.
No,
right?
My week was so bad that I really couldn't be bothered. But I mean, if you want to talk about Zapruder FPL goals,
Which I do.
We're referencing the Kennedy assassination for anyone who's not moored in American presidential history. Uh-huh. But the Johnny Evans, Gareth McCauley goal from last season,
sure.
That was the ultimate Zapruder. It touched his hair. It's got to count.
Exactly. So that one was annoying because that was the first goal in a 0-0 too. So in theory, that could have been like an 11-pointer for Walcott. And then, of course, he gets injured. I thought it was his hamstring. It turns out it's probably just like a bone bruise or something, right? Yeah. So I think Allardyce actually said after the game that he was likely to play next week. So that's encouraging.
This theory about Theo Walcott. This is a like Tim Cahill-esque move for Walcott. He went to get playing time because he's just absolutely desperate to make the World Cup squad.
Right.
He's so far away from the England World Cup squad, I feel, but he's going to push as hard as he can to score a couple goals to get mentioned on, you know, the football ramble. That's my hope anyway.
I don't know what's going to, he might make the squad, right? It's possible. He's going to have to play a little better down the stretch.
I was generally in the same, well, I was in the same boat as you two with my transfer, and I finally got rid of Rob Punchout Elliott for Lossell with an eye toward game week 31. And this was definitely the week in which people who decided to go their own way thinking about the blanks in 31, they came out looking very good.
Right.
And, you know, guys like Walcott and us stressing about bringing in these players, which at least I preached on Always Cheating about a month ago. Every move you make should be bringing in 31 players so you're well-stocked and you don't have to play your free hit. It's really not worked out, sadly.
No,
so
I
don't know if there's any lesson to be learned here.
I think there is, actually. I mean, I think there's always a lesson to learn when you play like a very templatey style and it doesn't work out. I mean, I think that in hindsight, if I had just decided 4 weeks ago or whatever, you know, whenever we decided the game week 31 was going to be a blank, I think we probably knew even longer ago than that. If I had just decided I was going to free hit in game week 31 and spent all of my transfers, you know, building towards the double game weeks, I think I would be in much better shape right now. You know, and we've all just been loading. I mean, I have Cuckoo Martina on my team, Brandon. I mean, come on. Would you wish that on your worst enemy, Cuckoo Martina? I know he was the assist king for a while, but, you know, it's...
I would wish it on my worst enemy, and it happened. It came true.
I think we should get to game week 31 shortly here. I think we got to get right into it. So let's... I see you've posted the Always Cheating Super League. It has been updated. So let's run through that top 10 real quick.
I'll go through it super fast, top bottom to top, as we do. 10th place, Bodilus, Adrian Falk. Revdal with 42 points. 9th place, Football Friend FC, Nick Tudhope. 8th place, Two Girls, One Schlup, Andrew Ferguson. Dropping down to 7th place, it's Jurgetto, Georgi Bajanov's squad. 6th place, Heating Up, Aaron Matheson. 5th place, moving up, it's Cruise Control, Stevie Sunshine. 4th place, Joe Stones for Fuchs Ake Ayu Blind. 3rd place, Gamchester United, Graham McDonald. Shout out to my crew in Edinburgh. 2nd place, Crazy Coutinho, Prakhar Patel. And in 1st place, staying strong, it's Jamal Rice, team name. Yeah. He had a pretty low game week score of 33, but holds tight with a total score of 1,930 points. If you want to join the Always Cheating Super League, go to alwayscheating.com, click the league tab, and hit the auto join button.
Yeah, and it's a sign of how low the scores were kind of across the board that I think he only dropped from 12th in the world to 20th in the world, so... didn't cost him too much. You know, still a very good chance of finishing the top 10, maybe even the top five. So we're rooting for you, Jamal.
Absolutely. And I also went to Barbados in the summer, Jamal, and I see you hail from Barbados. So get in touch.
Yeah, we can talk about fish cakes. I hope he's actually from Barbados, too. And this isn't one of those Christmas Island style jokes. All right. So we have a couple rants, though, first, Brandon, because there's a lot of frustration this week. A lot of things to get frustrated about. I mean, we talked about the Walcott, lost goal. We talked about the clean sheet conceded. We talked about IU. There's a lot of stuff we didn't even talk about. We even talked about the one-pointer from Kane, right? So here's a couple more rants of the week. Welsh Gunnar, Roger Kendrick.
Just made my stomach hurt.
There's just a lot to be frustrated about, but kind of in a fun way because it felt like it hit all of us equally, you know? Thank God that Salah didn't get, 16 points, right?
That would have been heartbreaking.
I think it was actually probably his worst game of the season. Mo Salah. I mean, don't you think? I mean, he's on the road at Man United, so, I'm not going to, you can't come down on him too hard, but it was not a great performance.
It was not a vintage Liverpool this season performance. I would say that Ashley Young was putting in some incredible tackles on Salah, so I think that they knew it wasn't going to be their game.
Rants of the week, Brandon. Welsh Gunnar, Roger Kendrick says, I did the smart thing and brought in Aguero before he got injured again. That's tough, Roger.
Oh, my God. I feel like we got past that point of just weird Aguero injuries. Now the only thing that would take Aguero out of a game week was like a taxi wreck in Portugal or wherever it was that he was. So the good old days are back again. Random Aguero injuries.
Karen Potty says, I'm evaluating my very sane FPL choices going wrong every which way. My wrong captain choice has officially cost me at least 80 overall points. Kill me now. Rant over. I feel like my wrong captaincy choices have cost me well more than that. Closer to 200-300 points this year. God, I mean, I wish I would have just, I mean, in hindsight, if I had just stopped, if I had just, not made a transfer for the last 20 weeks, but had just captained Mo Salah every single game week, I would probably have more points in my team than I do right now.
It's funny. It's one of those, the answer was right under your nose the whole time. Sort of like Mo Salah is the Kaiser Sose of the captaincy right now. Like, he was in your office the whole time. You could have arrested him.
All right. Why don't you read the next one, Brandon?
Okay, and the next rant comes from, I see why you threw this one to me. Name is Kajolik. Sorry about the pronunciation there. So, rant is getting Walcott and Siggy in preparation for game week 31 and captaining Kane at Bournemouth. Of course, it's like the Sorloth O or the Surlot O here. I'm a Surlot O away from taking hits now. Zaha and Surlot, here I come. So much to talk about Crystal Palace and other game week 31 teams coming
Our
up.
Our Lord and Savior, Lord Surlot.
And the last rant here comes from Peter Oleksi, who says, I was planning to move Ramsey to David Silva, but then I was advised by a certain podcast hosting Mkhitaryan owner to keep my Arsenal player for one more week. So that's you, Josh. You're keeping Mkhitaryan, where poor old Peter is keeping Ramsey. Good for Josh, Peter says. Bad for me. Thankfully, Tompkins with his massive 0-point haul off the bench to save my game week. Okay. Classic rant.
Listen, there was Silva was probably 50-50 to play on Monday, right? I mean, he is he's been totally in and out of that squad. I know he's in good form, but could you really have recommended? Who would have thought that Ramsey wouldn't play? He played in that Europa League, and I didn't know that Wenger was going to prioritize the Europa League so much. He's just not going to play Ramsey in regular fixtures anymore. I mean, that's just completely bizarre.
This is the real Ramsey. We have seen the fake Ramsey over the last few seasons. The Ramsey that plays in every starting 11. The Ramsey that scores goals. The Ramsey that is a good Arsenal player. But the real Ramsey, we see you. We see you not starting games. We see you not boosting up FPL managers.
I offer high quality game week saving advice every week in the Always Cheated Advice Shop. you know, the people I give advice to, they almost never respond back. But the one time, Brandon, this is the first time all season I've given a bad piece of advice. It wasn't even bad advice, actually. It was great advice. It was perfect advice. But Arsene Wenger screwed me again.
Yeah. You can't be asked to control Arsene Wenger.
No, nor can the Arsenal board. No one can. He's manager for life.
All right, so those are the rants. Let's take a quick break, and we'll come back and talk about the blank game week 31.
Makes it sound like there's no fixtures.
There are no fixtures. We're going to talk about no fixtures here in a minute. Same old podcast, always cheating. A big announcement, Josh, for Starting 11. Our friends at Starting 11, the greatest and newest daily fantasy game for the Premier League, they have officially launched a cash game in the UK. So if you have an iOS or Android phone, you can now play a cash gambling daily fantasy game on your phone in real time while you watch
Pixel
the Premier League
2,
games.
Brandon,
that is kind of amazing.
iPhone 10, Pixel 2, other phones. I only know those two phones.
Sure. Yeah, I mean, if you can somehow pirate your Zune device to get an Android OS on there, then maybe
you
can.
How many contemporary phones can you name? I really think I could only name those two. Is there a Motorola? Is there still like a Motorola Razr? Is that still a thing?
Yeah, you've got the Razr. You've got the any clamshell phone I can think of.
Can you play on a Nintendo Switch? I don't know. Okay. Anyway, yes. If you're in the UK on iOS and Android phones, you can now play cash games. It's super awesome. And Brandon, when you and I go to the UK this fall, we're going to play some Starting 11 with some of our UK friends. Right. And that is going to happen. By the way, you and I we already have. We've got money put aside for it. Like, it's definitely going to happen. So we've just got to figure out the game week we're going to do it.
If you want to have some awkward conversations, come join Josh and I when we talk about money.
Oh, my
money.
God. It's horrible. It's truly horrible.
But what's not awkward is talking about money with Starting 11. Just go to starting11.io for more information or download the app for free. You don't have to play the cash game. You can just play the Starting 11 for fun, but you know it's more fun if you're playing for cash. Just go to your Android or Apple app store and search for Starting 11.
Cash games will be available soon in the U.S. and Canada, and then I think from there it's just going to keep moving on to more countries. But, you know, we actually have more listeners from the UK than we do from the US. So, lucky for you, UK people. And for our third largest audience, which is Norway. Hopefully it'll get it to you guys very soon as well. But yes, anywhere in the world can play us in you know, daily head-to-head contests. We're also talking about doing you can play us any week throughout the rest of the season. And we're also talking about doing some Starting 11 World Cup contests. So keep your eyes peeled for that as well. So lots of exciting
stuff. It's not just any week, Josh. It's daily fantasy. Yes. So any day in which there are two or more league matches happening, you can play.
This weekend's a perfect example, right? We've got fixtures Saturday, Sunday, Friday. No, that's right. There's only four stupid fixtures on one day. But we'll be playing. I'm playing Starting 11 this Saturday. I know you will be too, because I'm going to challenge you, Brandon, to Starting 11 this week.
Wow. It's been a while since we played each other on Starting 11. Sounds cool.
Let's do it. Game week 31 is here. Very quickly, there are four fixtures. Bournemouth plays West Brom. Huddersfield plays Crystal Palace. Stoke plays Everton. And Liverpool, Brandon, perhaps you're familiar with them, they play Watford at home. It's quite a run of fixtures. Pretty exciting.
I'm sweating just looking at these fixtures, sweating with delight. My God. Coming off game week 31, fine. It would have been a nice respite had I just not completely tanked in game week 30.
Right.
Like, I need a hit of adrenaline. And unless Mo Salah scores 8 goals against Watford, I'm just bummed out, man.
So Jeff Petter says, have you ever wanted something to be over as much as I want game week 31 to be over? We've got lots of questions here. I don't think we really need to go fixture by fixture here because obviously there's only four of them.
It'll take us 2 minutes.
Yeah, we got lots of questions about that. We're going to run through all the questions here.
Everyone who's listened to Always Cheating knows if it would take us 2 minutes, we're not going to do it. We're going to take this. We're going to take the long way.
Right, exactly. So, Brandon, before we get any further, though, let's talk about both of our teams going into game week 31. Okay.
Okay.
So I. Yep. Oh, you go first. You go first.
Thank you for asking. I was hoping you would ask if I could go first. All right. I'm pulling on my bus team. Mm-hmm. All right. Everyone mm-hmm. knows. Pull up your bus team that sure. you set Saturday morning when the game week was fresh. So if you get hit by a bus
yep.
after the Sunday round of fixtures, you're not embarrassed by whatever team plays mm-hmm. the next weekend. So here we are. My man Lossell, who was my transfer in game week 30, is in goal against Crystal Palace. Mm-hmm. I've got Van Dijk and Higazi. Those are my two defenders. Mo Salah with the armband, predictably, he will have 100% captaincy. I mean, maybe some brave souls will go for yeah. Mane or Firmino.
Did you think about starting Lossell, by the way, when you brought him in? I mean, that would have been a reasonable start over De Gea.
I guess that's the problem with, I mean, it's always an interesting philosophical discussion, or I guess it's more of a mathematical discussion about goalkeepers.
Strategic, yeah, even.
Yes, yeah, I think that's probably the better word choice there. But if you have a premium goalkeeper like De Gea, the idea is that you never think about what the better move or the cannier move might be.
Yeah.
And yeah, while Lossell could have been a good move, save points and all that, Liverpool could have cleaned Manchester United's clock. But no, the thought never occurred to me. I brought Lossell in as a, and I just stashed him away. Mm-hmm. And now I'm wheeling him out for game week 31.
Okay, fair enough. So, all right, so you've got Lossell as your, how many total players do you have, by the way, right now?
Okay, before, so right you know, now, one, two, three, four, five, six, I have seven. Wait, no. One, two, three, four, five, six players.
Six players. Okay.
And, six players, and I have two free transfers. Okay. So the idea would be I'm putting out eight this week.
Okay, gotcha. All right, so just see if Lossell, just quickly, Lossell, who else do you have?
Lossell, Van Dijk, Salah, Firmino. Mm-hmm. Also in defense, Higazi, LOL. Theo Walcott coming back from his calf injury. Right. Loftus-Cheek, he's got to move because obviously he's not playing.
Right.
That's it.
Oh, so he counts as one of your
players. No. He doesn't count. He doesn't count. So I've got the two frees, which means for free, I can put out eight players. Anyone playing their free hit is probably going to completely destroy me this game week. So the gamble I'm making here, and a lot of other managers are, is that I can make whoever's free hitting now and going into game week 31, I can make up those points in a better week, probably game week 35 coming up. Now, that was kind of assuming that things went in my favor building up to game week 31. Mm-hmm. I've lost so much ground to a lot of managers who are free hitting in 31 that it's kind of a moot discussion. But right now, I have to play the hand that I effectively dealt myself.
Right.
I committed to game week 31 playing these guys, so now I have
to. Going down with the ship.
I'm going down with the ship.
Yeah.
It would be like burning points. If I played a free hit now in game week 31, I basically burning four on Walcott. These are all guys that need to go out with my wild card.
Yeah, and you wouldn't be able to carry over those two transfers anyway.
So we can talk about who I might be bringing in when we answer some of our listener questions for my seventh and eighth spot. Where are you with game week 31?
So, okay. If Cucu Martina plays, which I suppose is doubtful, but let's assume he does for the time
being. Not after the game that Baines played. He played a very nice game.
I wouldn't think Martina plays. Maybe I get a point off the bench or something. You know, maybe Baines hurts himself again. It's always possible. They're not going to keep a clean sheet anyway, away to Stoke. So I have Hennessy. I have Martina. I have Walcott, Milivojevic, Salah. I have Callum Wilson, who probably is a doubt to start at this point. as well, just because, you know, he hasn't done anything for 5 weeks. And then I have...
Yeah, Defoe at home against the worst team in the league seems like a great opportunity to give Defoe a start.
I hope he plays. If he plays, he's a great option, you know, for sure.
Yeah, for sure. I would. You have to stick with him.
Of course. So that gives me 7. I also have 2 transfers, but I've already played my wild card. So for me, I have to decide whether I want to use both transfers and... most likely win my head to head with you and maybe the head to head in our mini league. And then probably make it harder for me to load up on wildcard players later. So, every transfer is so important when you have already played that wild card. You know, you really don't want to burn them. That's why I'm relieved that Theo Walcott may actually play, because otherwise that would just be a complete waste of a transfer. So if Walcott doesn't play, I would move Walcott into Sadio Mane, I would just move Alonso into, I actually might look at someone like Baines, to be honest.
I could not believe, Josh, that you did not bring in Sadio Mane. I was certain that was going to be your move into game.
Well, it was tricky because the defender that I didn't want to bring in Mane. I mean, a triple Liverpool attack away to Man United just didn't seem like, I didn't know that Eric Bailly was going to, you know, score a spectacular own goal that, you know, gave Mane a cheeky assist that turned into a cheeky 2 bonus points as well.
Well, Andy at Let's Talk FPL knew, because he knows the future.
Sure, exactly. Most of us didn't know that. Had I known that, but you know, the thing is, I to make that happen, I would have had to use both transfers to free up the money, or I would have had to turn Sterling into Mane, which would have been basically like a neutral move. I mean, Mane finished on 7, Sterling finished on 6. So that was a decision. I could still bring him in. It wouldn't be that hard. I would just have to convert Alonso into some atrocious defender. We should get into these questions in a second here, but if you, okay, let's just assess the defender options quickly going into this game week, right?
Well, okay. Before we get there, I do want to ask, or I just want to pose this question that can basically hang over the rest of what we're going to talk about in game week 31. Sure. If you're not going to field a full squad, is there even a point to looking at defenders? Should you only be looking at attacking options? There's such a much bigger upside with attacking players.
Yeah.
As we know, defenders, how bad or good they are in a blink of an eye, as you saw with Alonso against Palace, the clean sheet just gets wiped out.
Yeah, it would depend on what the fixtures were. I mean, you know, if there was a, you know, if Swansea was hosting, West Brom or something, then I'd be all in favor of double or tripling up on defenders, you know, but these fixtures, okay. I mean, you know, why am I going to bring it up?
Well, let's talk about defender? We have a question.
Yeah, okay, go ahead.
We have a question from Ian Wilson, who says, looking for best clean sheet options in 31. So just looking at these 4 fixtures, what's the most nailed on clean sheet that you see? Is it Bournemouth against the worst form team around?
No, I really don't think I could recommend a Bournemouth clean sheet. I mean, that defense is truly terrible. You know, it was funny because just on last week's podcast, just to give ourselves some credit here for being really snarky on the podcast, I was talking about Francis and Daniels and what a complete liability they are. You know, Kane goes out, you know, minutes later, you know, Francis completely loses Aurier.
Nobody decides to mark Dele Alli. They're exactly. Like, oh, I guess we can have him running on goal.
Yeah, exactly. It was Francis to their credit, watches that goal get scored.
The odds of Aurier actually putting a decent cross in, I think the Bournemouth defenders knew the odds were in their favor, and it just so happened that was the one good cross that Aurier put in that game.
You know, Huddersfield, I suppose Huddersfield would be the best one, but I mean, their defense has kept, okay, so they kept a clean sheet this game week, right? Well, yeah, it was 11 on 10 the entire time. They hadn't kept a clean sheet for what, like 10 or 11 game weeks before that?
Yeah.
And it's not, well, they don't even have attacking defenders.
Yeah. Well, I would dispute that. They've got this guy who's recently come into form with Huddersfield, Hadar Jarjanajaj, mm-hmm. or however you say his name. Yeah. far and away, he put in the most crosses against Swansea over the in the whole league. He put in 21 crosses against Swansea. Granted, that was against a 10-man defense, and I didn't watch this whole game, so I don't know the quality of those crosses. But you know, he's one to look at if you're looking for a 4.5 cheapie that is probably nailed on to start.
Yeah,
but I was going to say,
I actually didn't hear. I got distracted. What was his name again?
Oh yeah, it's pretty easy to pronounce. It's Hader Janjanic.
Okay, sorry. I was looking at my notes. I missed that.
Hader, yeah, Bill Hader from the cast of Saturday Night Live. Well, so this is my logic bringing in Lossell as my GK is. We're going to be at odds with what we say with this Huddersfield Crystal Palace fixture, because I think if we would look at our perfect starting 11 for this paltry game week, Crystal Palace, we'd have a lot of attackers. I would probably wholeheartedly recommend Christian Benteke and Wilfred Zaha, who's now back and healthy. And if you're highly recommending those guys, you're feeling pretty good about the Crystal Palace attack. Therefore, you're banking on Lossell coming through with save points if you're not looking at a Huddersfield clean sheet.
Right.
That's why I'm erring toward the GK in this situation.
I think for me, you know, having two transfers, the way that my midfield sets up, it's actually kind of hard for me to make another midfield transfer. It would require me to drop either Mkhitaryan, which I really don't want to do because, you know, coming out of that break, they have Stoke, Southampton, Newcastle, and West Ham, sort of, you know, four fixtures in a row. It's just, you can't do it, I don't think.
The bandwagon is going to be heating up for him coming off of that game. I mean, he's had a couple of two-pointers with Arsenal, and then he's had two incredible fixtures where he had a hat-trick of assists and then a goal in assist against Watford. So he looks like the midfielder to get from Arsenal right now. So, yeah, you've got to hold on to it.
I think that, you know, dropping Raheem Sterling is still an option. It's not something I really want to do. I bought him so cheaply, and, I mean, he looked very dangerous today. But, you know, the fixtures aren't great on the horizon. They play Everton away in Game Week 32, which is a good, you know, very good fixture. But then it is Man United and Spurs in back-to-back games. So, you know, you could certainly make an argument for not having Sterling, but I think realistically, I really just might use one of my two transfers, and that would probably be Alonso to Van Dijk, which is just kind of the easiest move there.
Oh, come on, Joshua. You're trying to replicate my team now?
Are you bringing in Milo Vojovic? Are you bringing in Wayne Hennessy?
I guess I will now.
You're bringing in Callum Wilson? Please bring in Callum Wilson. I would love that. I would consider, if I burn two transfers, I would consider actually bringing in two Liverpool defenders. And I would bring in Van Dijk and Robertson. And I actually wouldn't mind that. Okay, the problem with that move is, you know, Klopp tends to rotate a lot down the stretch. They're entering the quarterfinals of the FA Cup. We're definitely going to see some Liverpool rotation, and I think we're going to see some of that.
They also have Champions League to consider.
Yeah, what did I say? FA Cup? I meant Champions League. They're out of the FA Cup. They have the quarterfinals of the Champions League, of course, coming up on the horizon.
I was being very generous there with you, Josh.
No, but I liked it because I liked the way you corrected me, because then it did stop the podcast. ground it to a halt. So I think... I do think that Van Dijk is the way. It feels like such a dullard move, like it's so boring. But I'm so bad at that. When it's a real flaw in my fantasy personality that if there's a really obvious boring move, I want to do anything I can to not make that move. I will like go out of my way to not do it. But here's something to keep in mind: Virgil Van Dijk is owned by 7.5% of managers. It is an extraordinarily low number.
It's incredible
for a player who has a lot of very good fixtures on the horizon. Does not have a lot of tread on his tires this year. Should be able to play plenty of games.
Virtually guaranteed, he scores one or two goals before the end.
Looked very
dangerous
in the Man United game. You know, could have scored there. So I'm probably going to make that move. You know, if I did that, if I move from Alonso to Van Dijk, I actually, you know, frees up 1.6 million. So, you know, I already have 0.5 million in the bank. So I'd have about 2 million to spend. But I may just hold on to it. Because I just don't know. I mean, I guess I could bring in, you know, like an Everton defender, you know, someone like, Leighton Baines or Seamus Coleman.
Seamus Coleman.
Yeah, Seamus Coleman would be the answer there. But God, do I want to spend $6.4 million on an Everton defender? I don't.
Everton just... I apologize to all you Toffee fans out there, but Everton just sucks so much.
Yeah.
They suck. I'm sad. I want them to be good.
Did you consider Cenk Tosun at all as a forward option? I mean, he's looked pretty good in that match, and he's, you know, two goals in his last two fixtures.
Not to get all hindsight on you, but I was kind of baffled by Sam Allardyce's comments after Tosun arrived at Everton, where he started the first game after he arrived, looked fine. It didn't look poor. And Allardyce just said, I'm not going to play this guy until we're safe. And I don't know, maybe he believes Everton are safe, but he looks like a remarkable improvement on, well, I guess there's no point in comparing him to Nias. I think he looks pretty good, and I see no reason why he wouldn't play.
Yeah.
Had I considered him? No, absolutely not, because this is... how much does he cost? He's priced out for what kind of team he plays on and what kind of spot you're trying to fill with him.
Yeah.
Look up Tosin's price. How much does he cost? I'm looking him up right now.
He's 6.7, right? Yeah, it's a little high. It's, you know, for an Everton. Part of the problem too is you really don't want to load up an Everton too much because. So they play Stoke away in game week 31, going right into game week 32 and 33. They've got Man City and Liverpool. So the argument for free hitting does seem more compelling in hindsight, I have to say. All right. So
let me ask you this, just to round out that Tosun conversation and talk about the price point. If I were to pose to you, would you rather for game week 31 have Josh King or Cenk Tosun?
Yeah. Well, is his neck injury okay?
But he was on the bench.
He was on the bench. He played 25 minutes. He didn't look that good when he came on. I mean, he might be a little injured. So, I guess I'd go. If I was free hit chipping, I would have Cenk Tosun in my team.
Interesting.
Yes.
Okay.
Over Josh King.
Let's round out the Liverpool conversation here real quick. We have a question from Siddhant Bhatia, who asks, who would you suggest as a differential non-Liverpool captain? So I'm going to pose that question to you, Josh. So question number one is, three Liverpool players on a free hit, do you go three attack, or is the preferred route to have one Liverpool defender?
Yeah.
And secondary question is, what's the differential captain there for Liverpool?
So... You know, I think it's a difficult question to answer. The argument for a Liverpool defender is that they probably have the best chance of a clean sheet of any of these four, of any of the eight teams. I would put them above even Huddersfield in terms of their clean sheet chances. Watford are not a particularly informed team. Poor Richarlison. It's just not happening for him, is it? Yeah. He had a chance to score too, and you know, Troy Deeney misses a penalty.
I know, just not happening for that entire squad.
Yeah.
They'll be back next season to do they're an entertaining team. I'll give them that. I want them to. There will be teams that leave the league this season that I will not miss. Watford, I would.
I guess if I were free hit chipping, I would have the triple attack, and the reason why is because I think it's entirely possible that when this run of four fixtures is over, not a single team has a clean sheet. Right. And I think that because I'm not free hit chipping, I don't want to be, I just don't want to be tripled up on Liverpool. You know, it just feels as explosive as their attack is, just having three attacking players from one squad, it just puts a lot of your eggs in one basket. And so I would be in a situation where I was probably going to be trying to drop one of those players fairly quickly. But then I could see myself having all these reasons not to do it. You know, like I'm suddenly... It like becomes this thing where like eventually I need to get around to, I don't know. Do you know what I'm saying? Like, it's kind of, it feels like the better long-term move is to invest in a Liverpool defender because you can just hold on to them. Like, I think there's a good chance, Brandon, when you wildcard, I mean, you might still hold on to Van Dijk. It's possible, you know?
There is a definite likelihood there.
Yeah,
absolutely. I think I've said before the perfect wild card is to just go all double game week players. But
well, first of all,
that's just not possible.
It's not going to happen because Mo Salah is at home to Bournemouth in game week 34, and yeah, there's just no way that right. you can not have Mo Salah for that fixture.
Yeah. Okay. So just real quick, if you don't captain Mo Salah, is the armband going on Mane or Firmino? Firmino has proven to be probably the best on BPS yep. out of those guys, and probably the most consistent.
Yeah.
Mane is really explosive, yeah. but for me, I think Firmino would win out if you want to be different.
Yeah. 7 double-digit returns in the season from Firmino, 13 goals, 8 assists. I actually think I like Firmino more as a differential captain than Mane, just because almost everyone's going to go with, or I'm sorry, with Salah. Almost everyone's going to go with Salah. And mm-hmm. so Firmino is, but you're also going to have Salah on your team, of course. So Firmino is just a way to possibly pick up 5 extra points, you know, which could be huge in a really tight game week like this.
Yeah, yeah. No, I get that.
But it's a gamble. It's a gamble, but it's not a huge gamble. You know, it's like it's a way to be a little different while still sort of limiting your exposure, I guess.
Yeah. All right. So two other big topics to tackle for game week 31. One is, are you playing a free hit? What's the perfect 11? And the next is, are you not? How many hits is it worth taking? So, Josh, let's quickly tackle the free hit conundrum. Who are the presumed best players for game week 31? We have a question from Adam P. on the Slack channel. What would your free hit team be for game week 31?
Right.
Harry Haslam and Ian Davis ask virtually the same questions. Okay. Ian looking for the three best strikers in particular.
All right, so here's how I think because this is a radio, because it's an audio podcast, Brandon, it is...
Yeah,
it's gonna be hard for us to go player by player and have it not be kind of boring. So let's go fixture by fixture and talk about the players that we would want to have in each of those fixtures, and that should get us somewhere close to 11, hopefully.
Yeah. Yeah, no doubt.
All right, so Bournemouth West Brom is the first fixture. What players would you look at from Bournemouth West Brom if you were on a free hit chip?
Well, Junior Stanislas is the big bandwagon coming out of game week 30. He'll probably be nailed on for most free hit teams. I'd suspect a lot of people are going to be transferring him in, and he's far more informed than Callum Wilson is right now.
He would 100% be in my squad too. I agree. 5.9 million.
I think you cautioned against Bournemouth defense earlier, but I think... And as much as I've kind of hated on him in previous podcasts, Nathan Ake would be in my free hit squad because he does show a lot of potential on set piece dead ball situations where he could get on the end of a corner kick or something like that.
Yeah, I would not have a Bournemouth defender. I also wouldn't want to have anyone from West Brom. I think that I agree with you on Stanislaw. I would actually probably still have Callum Wilson. I wouldn't love it, and I would certainly be, you know, listening to the press conferences this week and trying to, you know, see if Eddie Howe drops any hints about Defoe getting a start. I mean, to be honest, I think that Defoe is a bench player from here on out. I really don't think that it's a spot that he's going to earn back. I don't know if he's got the legs for it anymore, right? I mean, he was out for it was a pretty bad ankle injury, right? And he was out for a couple of months. I'm not sure that he can run for, you know, 80 minutes or so in a match, or 65 minutes, 70, whatever it is. I think he's better off in 15 or 20 minutes where he can really maybe impact a game. You know, he's such a great poacher. So I would probably go with Kellen Wilson and Stanislaw, and that's I don't think I'd bring in Josh King. I think it would just be those two, and I would not have anyone from West Brom.
I mean, maybe just because I like him as a player, Jay Rodriguez, maybe a cheeky punt because Bournemouth does have a leaky defense. And so there you go. All right, next fixture, Huddersfield Crystal Palace. This is a tricky one because, like I was saying earlier, Palace have some good attacking assets. I think Benteke is going to be very popular with the free hit chip. And also Zaha's back.
Yeah, Zaha is a really interesting option here, I think. He was back from injury a little earlier than I was expecting. Because the way they were talking about him, I did not think we'd see him in this match. Would you bring in Zaha? What were your thoughts on Zaha? Frustrating player that he is.
Yeah, he's definitely on my radar for sure. Because I have the freedom of wild carding in game week 32 or 33, airing toward game week 33 right now. It's just an incredibly short-term punt, basically just bringing him in for this game week.
Yeah.
And Palace need goals, and I think they need him on the pitch to make sure that happens. So, yep. Definitely.
Okay, picked up an assist on that ludicrous goal that was scored at the end of the match. You know, I think that Van Aanholt actually would be kind of an interesting option. He was really attacking. He's actually scored goals in his last two matches. Their defense, you wouldn't bring him in for a clean sheet, although you might luck into one. But you might, you know, you get a little bit of both of him, right? You get an attacking threat Huddersfield could very possibly not score in this match, and it would not be a shocker at all.
I really despise Patrick Van Aanholt. I do.
Do you? Why? Yeah. What's your not a fan?
He's a total FPL troll, and why would you want this guy playing on your team? I mean, he's got incredible speed, and he will score goals. He did it as much at Sunderland, but he's just an awful, awful defender, and he seems to be a player that is a hallmark of a team that doesn't know what it is, and have no tactical acumen.
I kind of like Van Aanholt, but for as a fantasy player, maybe less as a, it's a, I don't know if I'd want him in my real life team. All right. So, Huddersfield, there was, we talked about one defender on there. Who was it again?
Herbert. How about?
I tried to get you to say it a third time. Hedaron Jajanj, at 4.5 million. You could look at him. You could look at, I say him. I don't know if it's a man or a woman, actually. I assume it's a man. I shouldn't be so presumptuous though. You could look at Zanka. You could look at Schindler. I mean, all these people who I couldn't pick him out of a line. Maybe Zanka.
They're all cool.
Zanka I could pick out of a lineup, maybe.
I think Schindler was the popular choice heading into game week 30. Mm-hmm. He got a bonus point against Swansea, so that's a 7-pointer. I mean, take your pick. Whoever fits into your budget.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, none of these guys are going to score any goals or do anything like that.
Exactly. I mean, and I just really don't. I can't get myself too excited about anything. I mean, even someone like Zanka, all of us like for some reason. I think just because his name is Zanka. But, you know, game week 22 through 30, you know, it's 1-0-1. And that 0 was a match he played in. They conceded 4 goals. 1-0-1-1-1, 2-2-1. And then they pick up a clean sheet in a match where they have a red card. So I feel like this clean sheet that they picked up in the red card match is going to give people a skewed impression that they've, turned the defense around or something. Where, you know, Swansea's goal in that game was just to not concede a goal. I mean, I watched a lot of that match. I mean, did they even have a shot? I don't think they had a single shot on goal the entire match. So, it's easy to keep a clean sheet when you don't allow us. I mean, you know, it's just a... You know, I mean, Man United have this problem, but of course they concede own goals every other match. But, you know, I don't know. So I think I think I'm with you. I think I would lean more towards Crystal Palace players. I don't mind having Hennessy or Milivojevic in this match. I think they could both pick up some points. If I decide to use two transfers, I probably would use one. It's possible I would use one on a Huddersfield defender. I wouldn't be happy about it, but I do like their fixtures, you know, moving forward too. So, it's the least sexy of the four games, I would say.
Need I remind you about game week one, a young man by the name of Steve Mounier comes onto the scene. Number 24 in a kit, in a Huddersfield kit.
Yes.
And he scores two towering headers.
Yes.
I think they were both headers against Palace. I mean that was a different, much worse Crystal Palace team, but it's still the same team.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
I think Mounier is going to be my dark horse for game week 31.
Yeah, and then he got injured very shortly thereafter. He got 148,000 transfers after game week one, and It did not work out. Yeah, I mean, he's started the last four. I mean, this was always the problem with the Huddersfield Strikers is, you know, are they actually going to start two matches in a row? You know, because it was really inconsistent for a long time. But it does seem like he's probably earned that spot. I mean, you know, let's be honest. I mean, we're talking about a lot of rando teams here. I mean, you know, it wouldn't be a surprise if anyone, including Theo Walcott, was rotated out, you know, so there's not a lot of sure things in this. Maybe outside of the Liverpool team, I guess.
All right, we're spending way too much time on this, but real quick, you've been big upping Aaron Moy mm-hmm. the last few weeks.
Yep, I do love Aaron Moy.
Is that you're heartily recommending him for game week 31 for a free hit team?
I wouldn't say heartily, but yeah, I think that Aaron Moy would be in my free hit team. Yes.
It's slightly concerning looking at the stats, and they were playing against a 10-man team, Swansea, and Moy, he really doesn't show up in any stats apart from just touches in the opponent's half. He was leading on that. I mean, just only like looks like fourth behind De Bruyne and two other Huddersfield players.
Right.
Actually had more touches in the opponent's half uh-huh. than Aaron Moy did.
Yeah.
And Hogg, the never mentioned Huddersfield yeah,
Silas Hogg.
Had yeah, Silas Hogg.
So that's first name, Jonathan Hogg.
Yeah. Moy seems like a Milivojevic type player in that you're just hoping and praying that Huddersfield get a penalty.
I guess, I don't know why we're underselling. Okay, what about Van Lapara? I mean, I guess he's even cheaper yeah. than Moy, you know, 4.8 million.
He also shows up, and I mean, these stats are a little skewed because of the Swansea red card. I understand that. But I think you just, with Huddersfield, you have to go straight to the source, and that's why I think Meunier is the pick there, because he is the striker, and you just yeah. want to be at the tip of the spear.
I think it's possible that if I was doing a free hit chip, I would have Van Lapara and Meunier in my squad.
All right, so Stoke and Everton, we've already talked about Theo Walcott. Sigurdsson is injured. He's almost definitely 100% out for game week 31.
Very, very bad luck for anybody who bought him, you know, with the hopes that they would have a game week 31 player. It does not look like he's going to play.
Yeah, Choupo-Moting might be a guy. Just that is a budgetary restriction there, but Choupo-Moting is somebody I'm looking at because he's nailed on. He's not in great form. He's not been putting up any numbers, but, you know, this is game week 31 we're talking about, and I think he's a punt.
Looking at these eight teams, I don't think that budget's going to be a problem. Like, I think you could have the most expensive players from all eight of these teams and you still wouldn't be at 100 million.
Well, so here is the question for me. I'm looking at players who I want to keep through my wild card. So this is where you get to Raheem Sterling and Kevin De Bruyne. Mm-hmm. Now, I think after his showing against Stoke today, De Bruyne, I'm going to rue this day. I hope I do, because he's my beautiful baby boy. Mm-hmm. But I think he's got to go. And so these are the decisions that one needs to make to say exactly what I thought I was going to do is move Ruby Loftus-Cheek to my game week 31 player. But if I'm contemplating wild carding even in 32, though I think I'm going to do it in 33, I can live 1 week without a Man City midfielder like De Bruyne. So maybe I just chop him off and bring in somebody who I couldn't have afforded otherwise, like Shaqiri.
Yeah.
So tough question.
I was going to ask you about the De Bruyne thing, because, I mean, you've got to be losing some patience.
Yeah. This reminds me so much of what happened with Mesut Ozil on Arsenal, that Leicester City title winning season two seasons ago.
It's a great season.
Where it was an amazing season for Ozil, but I think, like a lot of playmaker, everyone was talking about Ozil setting all sorts of assist records that season. He didn't even, which he never got there. Same with De Bruyne, and he's kind of tapering off. And it's a very taxing position.
Yeah.
Particularly when you play as hard as De Bruyne does. He is truly playing box to box, making all sorts of tackles in the midfield. And I think that wear and tear is starting to show. And I just chose not to think about it. It's like thinking about your kid going off to college.
Yeah.
Emotionally devastating.
You are so, but you are so, you're overly invested in, and it's a problem for you.
Yeah, no, I totally agree. So De Bruyne almost is like 100% sure to not survive my wild card. So the, you know, the choice I have to make is, do I want to play KDB in game week 32 or not against a really diabolical Everton defense?
Yep, I think that was part of why I kept Sterling too, is the hope that he would start and then you know you'd have him for that Everton match most likely. All right, so Stoke Everton, I think that Shaqiri is the player to look at here. I think you could go with a Stoke defender. I think that you know, the one that I would look at would definitely be Bauer. 4.5 million. His ownership is less than 1%. You know, he's picked up 3 clean sheets on the season. No goals or assists yet, but he certainly looked attacking in matches. You know, I think that he looks like someone who could definitely pick up an assist in a match. I think I like him more than any of the other defenders on Stoke, right? I mean, I wouldn't want to get if I'm only going to bring in a Stoke defender for a short time anyway, these central defenders, Zuma, et cetera, just don't excite me.
All right, the famous legendary card game from Michigan, Euchre, there is a saying, the jack of whatever suit would be the highest trump card, called a Bauer, referred to as a Bauer. Yes. And there's a saying, if you turn down the Bauer, you lose for an hour.
Yep, that's true.
I do think it's the opposite with Stoke City's Bauer. Mm-hmm. I think if you bring in Bauer, you'll lose for an hour. And I'm not recommending it.
Wow, okay.
Do you like what I did there?
It's not bad. Three people listening will get that, but I do like it. As far as Everton goes, you know, we talked about them earlier, so I don't know if we need to dwell on it too long. Sanctosin is an option. I think that Walcott, if he's... I mean, listen, a lot of people are going to be wildcarding shortly hereafter anyway, so... You know, even though no one really wants Walcott, for a 1 week punt, it's fine. You know, if he's healthy and planning to play, and you know, without Gylfi, I mean, someone's going to have to be in an attacking role for that team. So, you know, what about Wayne Rooney? I mean, I think Rooney is not a bad option. I think I could see Stoke conceding a penalty in this game. I mean, would you if you were doing a free hit chip, would you think about Rooney?
Yes.
Yeah.
I think I might go Rooney over Sanctosin even.
Yeah. Yeah. I think I might agree with you there. I mean, it was exciting the way he missed that penalty. And I actually thought it was a pretty good penalty. I thought it was a good penalty save. And there's this tendency whenever anybody has a penalty that gets saved to say it was a totally crappy penalty. But sometimes you hit it really hard and it's well placed and the keeper just does a good job. So I feel like that's what happened there.
It was written all over Rooney's face. You could tell by the facial expression. There is the facial expression of, I screwed that up. It's usually looking toward the heavens or putting your face on or your hands on your face. Wayne Rooney had the expression of, good save.
Yeah, exactly. It didn't make me think any less of Rooney after that penalty save. So yeah, I think we're both in agreement. I think we both go Rooney over Sanctosin. You know, although I don't think it's totally cut and dry, but I think that's what I would do if it were me. And then finally, Liverpool Watford. We already talked about the Liverpool options
to death.
Watford. I think, you know,
none. I was looking at these players, like any slightly enticing player like Richarlison or Perea.
Yeah,
these guys all weirdly play like 55. They're all running the risk of getting pulled off before the 60th minute. And it's just a weird attacking lineup. Maybe Troy Deeney is the punt there worth taking. Yeah.
The great Brazilian legend Troy Deeney.
Absolutely. Yeah.
I think he's an option. Yeah, I could definitely see Troy. No, I think I wouldn't consider anyone from the midfield or the defense. I would only look at our beloved Troy Deeney.
Yeah.
That's Troydini.
All right. The last point we have to tackle here is about taking hits. We have questions from Mark M. Bison 22 on Twitter, FPL Joe, and FPL Stone. They all want to talk about how many point hits are worth taking. Where do you stand in the whole, it's actually a -2 if you're filling in a blank spot that somebody wouldn't play? Assuming they're guaranteed 2 points.
I think that's true. You know, there aren't a ton, as we just discussed, there aren't a ton of great options. I mean, even someone like, you know, Van LaPara or Aaron Moy, Steve Mounier, the players who are fun to have, they're not players that you like have any confidence are actually going to do anything in these games, you know? Mm-hmm. So if for some reason you weren't tripled up on Liverpool or weren't planning to be, and you needed to take a hit to do that, then sure, I think that's justified. But I mean, you know, four for Shaqiri, I think, is justifiable. I don't know. I mean, because, you know, a lot of people are going to wild card shortly thereafter anyway. So I wouldn't do it for any of the defenders just because I don't see any clean sheets, you know, or I mean, I don't see many at least. And so even taking a four to bring in a Van Dijk or a Robertson, I'm not like that in favor of, because I just don't. You know, I don't feel that confident in Liverpool defense. You know, I mean, you know, at least with Van Dijk, you get a little bit of, you know, goal threat too. But
yeah,
I don't know. I mean, do you disagree? Do you have any other thoughts on this?
I mean, the theoretical conversation about burning four in a blank game week, I think, is interesting in and of itself. But mm-hmm. this particular blank, where we all already have or will have three Liverpool players, that's the only enticing team. I don't see it happening for any of these.
Yeah.
I don't see it happening for any. You look at Shaqiri. You brought up Shaqiri. He scored 3 goals in 3 matches.
Right.
Starting in game week 26. Coming off 2 blanks now. The dude only... He is such a streaky player. And if he's out of form... I wouldn't recommend burning four on Shaqiri. Yeah. If you're burning four, I feel like you've got to be an attacking penalty taker, which I guess Troy Deeney would be one to burn four on.
Yeah,
like all the odds of that person getting attacking returns have to be going in your favor.
I think we're looking, because the minus the burning four, because it could still pay off, which I think there are places, maybe Stanislaw, maybe Callum Wilson, I guess. I mean, that'd be a real risk because obviously he's not in great form right now. You know, usually in years past, the argument has been a little bit different because it'll be, you know, a team like Arsenal or Spurs or, you know, there'll be like a couple of really good teams. Usually it's more than 4 fixtures too, right? There's usually like 6 or something like that. And you have a couple good, you've got Spurs at home to Bournemouth and you've got, you know, Arsenal playing whomever and, you know, and you just don't have 6 players in those teams, you know, or 3 players in each of those teams. So in those cases, it is justifiable because, you know, you're like, well, like there's a decent chance that Mkhitaryan is going to go for, you know, bringing in a goal or an assist. There's a good chance that, you know, that Dele is going to do something good. And, you know, but in this case, like you said, I mean, if you already are doubled or tripled up on Liverpool, who is the option that you'd burn for to bring in? I mean, Van LaPara, like, okay, you know, maybe Shaqiri. There's just no one who like really gets you going. And you know, Siggy actually would have been one, I think, if he wasn't injured.
Sure. The question is, how many players do you have to have? And then is it worth burning 4 points to get there? And it immediately makes me think about loot crates in video games. And Josh, I don't think you know what a loot crate is, and I'm not going to explain it to you.
Someone tried to explain this to, I think it might have been my sister-in-law. Someone was explaining loot crates to me, and it was interesting that I did forget everything about it.
Loot crates, they're in video games. They're a way to basically, it's like a dopamine drip to a player, like for you to get power-ups for your player. And it's usually in first-person shooters. And you need loot crates to boost you up so that you can go annihilate other people in the online world. And without them, it won't work.
Okay.
But the loot crate works because
loot crates?
No, there are no loot crates.
You can lift up the grass.
No, that's one of the few things FIFA has left going for it, is it hasn't succumbed to the loot crate system. Actually, no, that's not true. They do have loot crates in the Ultimate Team game.
Really?
That I don't play.
Yeah. Okay.
But I feel like game week 31 is a loot crate week, in that there is the temptation to go out there and get a Van LaPara loot crate, and you open up the Van LaPara, and odds are there isn't going to be anything cool inside the Van LaPara loot crate, and you're going to end up, you know, losing value because of that. So I feel like even if you can only get four out, it's not like you need to burn 16 points to field eight because you're only just digging yourself a hole.
Right.
So just you are where you are right now. Make peace with it and do the best you can.
I think burning four is justifiable. I wouldn't burn more than four, you know, because, yeah, like a lot of people will say, you know, burning four is really more like burning two this game week. Right. Assuming that the player is going to play and get 90 minutes, then you're really it's half a hit instead of a full hit. So it's a low risk, high reward situation. There just aren't a lot of high reward players. Brandon, I think I'm talked out on game week 31. So let's take a quick break. We're going to come back with our shortest lightning round ever. Okay. You ready?
Okay. Yeah. Let's do it. Same old podcast, always cheating. Josh, we're going a little long here. So we're going to truthfully make this one of the quickest lightning rounds ever. True to its name, 30 seconds or less, the 100% correct answer. And we're going to start with a section on wildcarding. First question on wildcards comes from Simon via our Slack channel, available to Patreon subscribers everywhere. Go to patreon.com/alwayscheating. I've taken up all my lightning round time for the wildcard section. Just talking about our Patreon page, right? All right, Simon on the Slack channel says, if I want to delay my wildcard to game week 33 so I have more info on the double game weeks and also the extent of Kane and Aguero injuries, I have to compromise who I get in for game week 31. As a lot of game week 31 teams have poor fixtures in game week 32. Who do you think makes sense for game week 31 and 32, or should we just wild card in game week 32? So the question that Simon is asking is, if we go hard on game week 31, how screwed are we for game week 32?
Right.
And this is strictly for managers who still have a wild card. So you're kind of in a different boat, Josh. You're doing long-term planning still going into game week 31 because you don't have a wild card.
I think they're the only teams that have decent fixtures in game week 31. So Bournemouth have a decent 32, right? They play Watford away. Huddersfield have a decent 32. They play Newcastle away. Liverpool are fine, but you're probably tripled up on Liverpool already anyway. Everton, not so hot. They play Man City. Watford, I guess it's okay, but I just don't really want any Watford players for game week 31. You know, West Brom, I mean, they play Burnley at home, but West Brom is just, like, done.
This is what makes Junior Stanislaus so intriguing, is because he's got the Watford fixture in game week 32. He can kind of be fulfill that fourth midfielder quotient.
Yeah.
So I think our advice to Simon is, best you can, try and bring in some peripheral players that could be of substance in game week 31. And I don't think that's too much to ask because game week 31 is so garbage, mm-hmm. that peripheral players will be the stars of the show. So just try to work on the edges right now, Simon.
Okay. I like that advice. I think that's true. How screwed can you really get in game week 31? I mean, you know, maybe the max. Someone will triple captain somebody and be the high scorer this game week. But, you know, I think the average score is going to be about, well, I mean, it kind of depends on what the Liverpool players do, but let's say it'll be like 40. Right. And if you have a terrible game week, but you've got the right Liverpool players, you're at like 31 points. Right. Like, you know, maybe you lose 10 points total. Right. It's just you're just not going to lose that many points. It's just it's unrealistic that all of these kind of marginal players are going to have big game weeks in 31.
We have a question from D on Twitter. It says, should I have played my wild card by now? D, if you haven't played your wild card by now, guess what? You're with the herd. You're in a good place. Mm-hmm. Now, Josh, you played your wild card, and I think we would be proponents of an early wild card on this podcast. Sure. So it's sort of like it's good if you did, and it's good if you didn't. Mm-hmm. Don't worry about it.
Yep.
And the next few questions here, though, are if you still have your wild card, thoughts on wild carding in game week 33 versus 32. So that's something we didn't touch upon with Simon's question is, if we were planning for a game week 33 wild card, can we just go ahead and play it in 32? I was planning to do 33 when we had as much information as possible. I'm so down on my team right now. I'm pretty much ready to pull the trigger, and I'm feeling like
You might just do it.
So long as you're looking at those double game week and blanks coming up in 34, 35, and 37, I think it is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Just play it in 32 or 33. I mean, you're going to have less information in 32, but you might end up with a better score in 32. So I see no reason to not.
Okay. Yep. Yep. Yeah, either one. I think there's really valid arguments for either gay week, really. It's a hard one. It's a tricky one.
The key here is, if you still have your wild card, how are you planning to roll out your bench boost and your triple captain in the double game weeks? And I think that's the more important question, rather than when do you play your wild card, 32 or 33?
Yeah.
And you know, it's slightly different for you if you've played your wild card. Then you're talking about free hitting in one of the double game weeks.
Yeah, I am. Yeah, either 34 or 37. I just think it makes the most sense. I think that you can. There aren't that many likely blanks in game week 35. And I just think that you can put together a team of 11 players or 10 players for game week 35, you know, and get through it. So that's tricky. All right. Forward line questions. Gabriel Castellanos says, I'm planning to wild card after game week 31. I'm thinking that Kane is out. What do you recommend for a third forward, my three forwards? I am planning two premium forwards and one budget forward. So this is almost a question for a future podcast, but just, you know, thinking ahead right now, I do not plan to drop Kane, especially because he's got two home fixtures in game week 34. I think that, the obvious one is Aubameyang, right?
Yep. I think basically we're right back to the start of the season where A, I kind of don't know anything, and B, I think players like Lukaku look spectacular. Lukaku is heavily highlighted in my notebook, and I could see him coming into my wildcard team.
Yeah, it's about time, right? We have to start talking about Lukaku again. As much as I hate to admit it, but I think you're probably right there.
Yeah, I mean, the fixtures are West Brom, West Ham, the doubles in 34, West Brom, West Ham, and then likely in 37, Brighton and Bournemouth.
Mm-hmm.
There's blank in game week 35, but I love Lukaku and Aubameyang. Who's the budget striker? That, like you said, is a question for a future podcast, because that's just going on form. So we can't predict the future in that sense. So I'd say sit tight on that one.
Yeah. All right. Let's get through these final few questions. Brennan, Legamane says, will the Kane and Aguero injuries inject some new interest into the game's forward lines, with Firmino, Vardy, Aubameyang, Lukaku, and co ready to spice up the run-in? Yeah, we just talked about this. I think it will, actually. This is the time, right? You have to kind of, like, you got to go for it now, right? I mean, it just depends. I mean, if you're in first place in your mini league, you don't need to go for it. I think that you just need to play conservatively, you know, in game week 34, are you planning, do you think you're going to bench boost? Do you think you're going to triple captain? Have you given it that much thought yet?
I haven't given it that much thought yet. I think that's based on form. The triple captain really works if you have a player who is in great form and has great fixtures, and we don't see that yet. I mean, Harry Kane has two home fixtures, as you noted, but one of those is against City.
Yep.
And the other is against Newcastle. But Kane is not in great form, and also he could not even be playing. He has a terrible ankle. He could potentially have a terrible ankle injury. We don't know.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I have to wait to see who is on form. I think because there are so many more potential doubles in game week 34, it seems to make more sense for the bench boost. I guess speaking of Kane, the more information we have, the better. And in game week 37, he's got another double, assuming he's fit, and that's West Brom and Brighton. So Harry Kane is the type of player you want to be playing your triple captain on.
Right.
It's the sad thing is that Mo Salah doesn't have a double at the end of the season. Like, he would be guaranteed to get your triple captain chip.
Yeah.
And it seems crazy that we aren't going to triple. Some of us might not triple captain Mo Salah, the most informed player all season, just because he doesn't have a double.
Yeah.
So not ruling that
out. I mean, there's a good chance that I, you know, if I free hit chip in game week 37, I, you know, he might not be in the squad for that one. He's away to Chelsea that game week. All right, we got three more questions here, Brandon. First question comes from Jeremiah Johnson on the Slack. He says, should we avoid City? They will clinch in the next game week or two, and the rotations will be bound to increase, correct? Yes.
Probably. Probably. Yeah, I think so.
Yeah. Especially, like, we talked about this actually when we started this podcast several hours ago, but I do think that, you know, I mean, I have Sterling. I'm certainly going to probably keep him through game week 34. I mean, you know, after that, I mean, they have this amazing run in is the problem. Here they play Swansea, West Ham, Huddersfield, and Southampton, their final four. Someone's going to play for them, right? I mean, like, they're not going to roll out, like, just a bunch of nobodies, right?
Down the stretch. Yeah, Torre playing in all 11 positions.
Yeah, I mean, so there will be some decent players who get in for them. So I don't know. I think,
well, this is another issue that I have with KDB is he's one of the most nailed on players in that squad. And it's just sad that he's one of the most expensive, too. And he's kind of not performing.
Right.
Sterling, we for so much that was made of rotation, Sterling rarely got rotated when he was in that great run of form. And
yep.
It was really only his injury that took him out of the rotation.
Yeah, it wouldn't be
him out of the squad.
It wouldn't be rest. It would be, you know, Champions League and playing young guys because they have the title sewn up. You know, I mean, I don't think Sterling needs to be, like, protected these final few weeks of the season. He's had plenty of time off now, but I don't know. Yeah, so it's I don't think I'm going to have more than one City player. You know, maybe, I mean, you know, even game week 37, there's a bunch of, you know, potential doubles, but, you know, I don't know. I mean, City play Huddersfield at home that game week too, so... you know,
I think one is maybe two, meaning one attacker and one defender will be enough for Man City through the rest of the season. I think there's no reason to have three. I think game week 35 home to Swansea, that will be the big crowning FPL moment for Manchester City this season.
Yeah.
I think that's the last gasp for their FPL assets.
Yeah.
All right, two more questions, Josh. This one comes from Tom Smith. It's about goalkeepers. At this stage of the season, is it worth putting your trust in a GK from a team at the wrong end of the table, like Huddersfield or Palace? Someone's bound to go on a ridiculous run and survive. If so, who do you think? So the logic here is clean sheets will save the teams down at the bottom. Fabianski is kind of a poster child for this theory.
Yeah.
So... You were talking about Swansea's good defensive form. I think Fabianski is a good pick there.
Yeah, I was trying to look at teams that have two double game, like that have, you know, two back, like double game weeks 34 and 37. There's no cheapies there, really. I mean, you've got Matt Ryan, but in Brighton's double game weeks, they play Man City, Man United, and Spurs.
There are not enough saves to save you.
Yeah, exactly. Ryan. Yeah. Maybe you'll get to 6 points total in a couple of those. I think,
Mossel might be the way to go here.
Fabianski, though, like you said, I think is not a bad option. Mm-hmm. I mean, that game week 34 where they play Everton and Southampton, that's pretty solid. That could be back-to-back clean sheets for them.
All right, last question in the lightning round comes from Marco Hogan. Marco asks, what is the template team at the moment? My response for this, Josh, is pretty simple. Like I said earlier, I feel like we're back to game week one. Like I am having to erase everything that I thought I knew in the middle of this season.
Yeah, you're down right now.
It's less that I'm down on my own team, but I was saying with Lukaku, I think we're in a moment in which there are going to be FPL assets that we really haven't had to grapple with. Even Aubameyang or Mkhitaryan, players like this. So the answer to the question then is the template is now in the process of reforming.
Yes. And really there may not be a template again, right? I mean, with so many double game weeks, there shouldn't be, it kind of depends on where you are, but I think you know, I think the last couple of years, there has been a very templatey approach that a lot of managers take. You know, it's people, it's like you listen to these podcasts and read stuff on Twitter, Reddit, wherever. And, you know, you kind of, there's like this groupthink that takes over, and then a lot of people end up really disappointed. And I do think that there's this kind of cumulative effect of like, oh, you know what, maybe I want to like be a little different. Like maybe I want to, maybe I'm just speaking for myself here, but it does feel like, I think these are like all of these doubles and this kind of, you know, tricky game week 35 too. I mean, I just think that there's a lot of opportunity here to be creative. And I guess I'm always thinking of the underdog manager. I'm always thinking of the managers listening to the podcast who's like in third place and trying to get to first. I mean, you know, a lot of this advice you can throw out the window if you're in first place. If you're in first place, you should just be playing extremely conservatively because it's probably the approach that's going to win the league for you.
Like bringing in Virgil van Dijk.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So, I mean, being conservative is typically the way to go. I did make some joke on Twitter about how every time I'm conservative this year, it's like the Hurt Locker style, like blown up in my face. But I do think, despite that, I do think that
it was a good joke.
It was okay. I don't actually think anyone's face gets blown up in the Hurt Locker, but
speaking of blowing up, I think it's time to blow up this podcast, Joshua.
All right, Brandon, you can support the podcast on Patreon at patreon.com/alwayscheating. We're going to do at least, you know, one more Patreon exclusive podcast before the season's over. We're also planning on doing some Patreon exclusive World Cup stuff, which Brandon and I were trying to figure out how to do. We want to do some kind of, we might give away like an actual trophy or something. That's what we were talking about over the weekend. So we're going to figure out something cool for our Patreon supporters. You got to subscribe, rate and review the podcast on iTunes, Stitcher and Google Play, you know, or wherever you get your podcasts. And what else, Brandon?
There were even people on our Slack channel talking about how they could rate our podcast on places like Pocket Cast or whatever, like places I've never heard of before.
Yeah.
So there you could go to all far-flung corners of the earth to give us 5 stars. But yeah, also find us on SoundCloud, where that's the home base for all our audio files. And follow us on Twitter, where Josh is making his amazing Hurt Locker jokes and lots of tweets live during the matches. So follow us at Hail Cheaters and Facebook. We're facebook.com/alwayscheating. And as I'm fond of saying, if you zoned out during the last 30 seconds, heck, just go to alwayscheating.com. It's very easy to remember. And everything that we just said is right there for you.
You got it.
So, Joshua, I wish you luck in this ghosty blank of a game week. Try not to, it's one of those like blink or you don't blink or you'll miss it.
I know. Weeks. Yeah. Thankfully I'll be in I'm actually going to a wedding this weekend, so I do not think I'll be able to watch most of the least exciting game week of the year.
This is like a championship Sunday, or relegation Sunday. Those are one of the few days in which all of the matches are played on one day.
Yeah, it's true. Well, it's also the NCAA tournament weekend. So this is the weekend when I kind of switch off my soccer/football brain and turn on my college basketball brain. So, go Michigan State, make that Sweet 16. Beat Duke,
yeah, go
make
State.
The Final Four. Let's make it happen. So
go Steve Mounier and hail Lord Surlot.
Hail Surlot. Hail Mbakani too, of course. Praise Mbakani. We always praise.
Yeah, wherever you are, Mbakani, we're sending you goodwill.
Wherever
and
you
good
are,
tidings.
We want to thank you.
Send me some team name suggestions. I need it. I need a boost.
All right. Cheers. Good luck this weekend, everybody.
Bye.
Okay.
All right, get us started here.
Okay, here we go. Game week 31 is...
Sorry, we got to... like I planned it. It's like I'm trying to throw you off. It's like yelling at a guy shooting a free throw.
Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring this podcast. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System, you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. In hundreds of locations across the globe, Access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE system technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's unifiedhealing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE system.